Ryan, what are some of the warning signs of video game addiction?
Oh, that's a good question. These are things to be on the lookout for. In terms of physical warning signs, there's not many that would really be particular to video game addiction because they mirror so closely the type of thing that someone who works in a cubicle all day in front of a computer would have. You know, dry eyes from staring at screens, headaches, you can get carpal tunnel syndrome, back pain. The things I'd be looking for are more along the lines of the psychological, the emotional, the behavioral. Some of the ones I'd really be on the lookout for, I think, are ones like if somebody's kept from playing video games that they want to play and their behavior gets wildly disproportionate, you know, like the kid that you on the little clip we had earlier,
yeah,
you know,
screaming
and shouting, yeah. You know, things like this. I also noticed the sort of the other way that this works, too. You know, some people get on the road, these quiet grandmas or, you know, these older people or young people, and all of a sudden they get into road rage. I see that with video game. It's almost like video game rage. You know, regular kind of calm people start breaking keyboards, throwing controllers, you know, screaming and shouting, that kind of thing. Those are pretty big warning signs. But one of the biggest ones I'd be looking for is when the people lie about how much they play. Once you start to lie about that, the levels of self-deception and just everything denial going on is just huge. And this is one that I was completely guilty of, too. A number of times my wife would say, how many hours do you think you played this week? And I would say, you know, 18, 15, 21, something like this. You know, it's always like 42 or something like that because my wife kept track, and I would never believe her. I mean, to this day, I sort of don't believe her on one level. On the other hand, I mean, I know she's right because she was keeping track, but it just you sort of lose perspective when you're playing, and that's a huge warning sign that it's getting out of control.
Were there times, Ryan, where she would go to bed and you'd just stay up and keep playing video games?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And there are times, too, where we'd all go to bed, and then I'd wait till everybody goes to sleep, and then I'd get up so they wouldn't know I was playing all night.
And sneak back, huh?
Yeah, you'd get in trouble if you stayed up all night because they would notice that. But if you did it sneakily, that's one of the ways you could kind of hide some of your game time.
Was there a rush for you? Was there some kind of a feeling, this gratification?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's certainly one of the appeals that games can have for people. It's you know, it kind of appeals to sort of the OCD in us. You know, you complete quests or you complete missions. There's something more to do, and then you check it off your list. So there's kind of that sort of thing. But, I mean, it does a lot of other things for you, too. I mean, my life has been pretty boring, I think. You know, I didn't really live through a war that I could have participated in. You know, I didn't really have a lot of adventure. You know, I haven't done a lot of exciting things. So I think vicariously these games, some of them anyways, provided a sense of adventure. And also, too, I'm sure it had to do with the idea of self-importance. A lot of us feel like our lives don't matter. But when you play some of these games, even the console games now tend to be connected. You have Xbox Live, and, you know, mm-hmm. You can play with people in Egypt just as easy as you could play with someone sitting next to you. You know, if you play a lot of these games, you team up in groups in one way or another. If you just do your job, you are rewarded for it. People say thank you. In real life, people don't care if you do your job or not. It doesn't seem to matter. And sometimes you do your job and, you know, you get punished for doing the right thing, you know. But in the games, you know, it's you get rewarded so much more easily. And it's much more clear than the real world. The real world is kind of confusing. We're sort of always at war, but we're not sure who with. And, you know, it's kind of a difficult life that a lot of us lead. In the games, the bad people tend to wear black hats. The good people wear white hats. It's really clear. And when you do the right thing, you're rewarded for it.
Well, and these video games are so crisp technologically that, you know, it's almost like you're there. It's almost like you're in the video, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we talk about your characters as avatars, you know, representations of yourself. You create them. You invest time into them. The more involved games, you design them. You know, you want to make it a tall woman, you can be a tall woman. You want to be a short, fat guy, you can be a short, fat guy with a purple mohawk. You design it. You can play multiple characters, and in some ways, they're always you. So you're sort of the hero, which is one of the big compulsions of the game, too. You know, like the world or the story stops because you stop playing. You need to know what's going to happen next, like a good page turn, like a Stephen King book. What's going to happen next? You know, you care about these characters, so you have to find out. You go back and play more.
Does playing video games pull you in? I mean, can a person who would say, I'm going to play a couple times a week, you know, just for fun, do they get suckered in and they're playing 15, 20, 30, 40 hours a week, like you said?
It can happen. I've known it to happen. Particularly, I've seen this with, like, spouses, where one person plays a lot, and then, you know, the other one says, you know what, I'll just try it, you know, just so we have something we can maybe share and do together, and they just want to dabble a little bit. I've seen this happen where the one who wants to dabble ends up putting in more time than the one who's probably already addicted.
Truly amazing. And this, what's the medical community doing about this? Anything? I mean, has it gone that far yet?
Well, I mean, they're certainly aware of it. You know, the American Medical Association did a study in 2007. And again, we talked about this before. It's worth saying a lot of times. We really just aren't paying much attention in terms of public awareness in this country. But we are looking at it. Some of the important people are, some of the important groups are, like the American Medical Association just a couple of years ago did a study where they determined that as many as 5 million American kids age 8 to 18 would meet the clinical definition for video game addiction. That's the American Medical Association. They know about this, but here's the problem. A lot of therapists don't know what to do with this because it's not a legitimate disorder. It's not in the DSM.
They can't prescribe drugs for it, that's for sure.
That's exactly right. But they don't want to put it in the DSM, right? That's the statistical manual that diagnoses all the mental illnesses that you have. And one of the reasons why is that, well, if we do this, then what else are we going to put in there? We're going to put in, like, telephone addiction. And, you know, I mean, they think it's just going to open it up to a big can of worms, and then everything's going to be addiction. And then what do you do then? So there's kind of been a lot of resistance. And there certainly are people who are trying to do research to disprove this and just ultimately dismiss it as, well, you know, parents need to be more responsible and people just need to stop playing the darn games.
Now, okay, if you're a parent and it's coming up to Christmas time, holiday mm-hmm. season, would you get your kid a video game now? You know, after you hear this show, after you read Unplugged, what would you do?
I don't know if I would or not. I think that if I, as a parent, had instilled in my child or my children a healthy relationship with video games in the digital world, meaning it's just one of a number of things that they do and have interest in, I don't think I'd have any problem whatsoever to buy them a game. I wouldn't buy them all games. Some kids, that's all they want on their list. 10 different video games. I wouldn't do that. I would support a lot of others. That's exactly right too. But I mean, it's just, it doesn't make much sense. I mean, the real key with this all is balance. When you have an addiction in anything, your life is out of balance, right? It's focused in one area and you have negative consequences and you continue in it. And that's what happens with the video games too. But if you can play your video games and still have a relationship and all the other things that matter in life, I think you're doing pretty well. And some people I know and run across, they play, you know, number-wise, hours-wise, you would think they are addicted, 20, 30, in some cases even 40 hours a week. But if they can hold down a job, and if they have a relationship, and in some cases their parents, and they treat their kids right, and have other hobbies, and they're healthy, I'm not going to tell them you can't do that.
No.
But you know, some people, if they can work their life out that way, and they have that much free time, God bless them. Go ahead and do it. But for the majority of us, you know, there are some kind of limits and checks and balances, and you just need to kind of pay attention and make sure there's that balance, because what happens is that balance goes away so fast, and then when you notice it, you realize that, boy, everything's falling apart.